Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
She's got weird hair.
Oh!
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Del, did you get the spot I sent? Okay, so let's talk a little Astros baseball. It's kind of a big deal that we're seeing some trades, we're seeing some stuff go on, and so far the Astros have been quiet. It's going to be, I don't know that you attack early because you're going to overpay for a Dylan Cease. If Dylan Cease is still lingering around for a while, but then if somebody else grabs him, then he's gone, right? If that's the case, whether or not Justin Verlander is going to be there available for the Astros, that's another thing. Whether or not he's going to be an Astro next year. Jake Meyers, Chandler Rome. You got that, Del? You got Chandler Rome? This is interesting. I don't know what is. I don't know what Jake Meyers brings to the table. I don't know what Jake Meyers is going to draw. I don't know what kind of. I mean, there's a lot of places Jake Meyers could play, and if Jake Marisman could play in New York, I'm sure Jake Meyers could play in New York. But I don't know what he's worth. I don't know if it's worth getting rid of him. I don't know. Jake actually came through last year. He was hobbled a lot, but with the calf injury, but couldn't walk. Tried to come back, and running out to the field, he had to be taken back to the dugout. That's how good that training staff was. Here is Chandler Rome talking about a possible Jake Meyers deal.
Well, I'm here to tell you that there are a couple of trade pieces in the outfield. One of them, probably the guy with the most value, is Jake Meyers. And friend of the podcast, Matt Gelb, who covers the Philadelphia Phillies for The Athletic, in a story that he wrote on Saturday, mentioned that the Phillies really like Jake Meyers and that he is a name to kind of file away as maybe someone that the Phillies will call on. I reported at the GM meetings that the Astros have been getting a lot of calls on Jake Meyers, and this is not a new thing. Teams were calling on Jake Meyers when he was not producing because he's always been an exit velo darling, a savant darling, if you will, just with the tools he has, the speed, the defense. He just really hasn't put it all together. And then we saw him put it all together this year. His value has never been higher. I think, honestly, if the Astros get the right package, it would behoove them to seriously consider moving Jake Meyers now, because he will never be this sought after ever again. Even, you know, you can't count on him replicating what he did last year. But even if he does go out next year and plays for the Astros and has the same sort of year, well, he has one less year of club control left. And that inherently is going to decrease his value.
Okay.
He has never been as valuable as he is right now. I think if the Astros are talking about if we take Dana at his word, which we have no reason not to, if we take him at his word and he says we need to have some conversations about some outfield pieces that could be trade candidates, Jake Meyers is the top of the list.
Okay. So – Ranger Suarez for Jake Meyers. Done. I'm doing it right now. Or Christopher Sanchez. We'll take him. I know he's their hoss.
Yeah,
all-star.
Not getting any of those, but...
Cy Young.
You won't get any of those, but I'm still trying to process how Jake Meyers has been this and how the Astros haven't traded him previously, if this has been the case. Like...
I
guess because he's an
exit.
They don't trade him, and they've been getting calls even when he wasn't good. You weren't trading him?
No.
Like, what was the offer? And maybe it's because, you know, and I know for a while it wasn't just run by analytics-based, because exit, velo, darling, all the things that they brought up is what the Astros used to really covet. But then they weren't really run like that, I guess, for a while. At least that was a narrative. So I'm still trying to process Jake Meyers has been this guy that teams are calling on all the time. That's That's crazy to hear that out loud with someone's mouth.
Well, your dad would have traded him. I know that.
Yeah, would have got rid of him quickly because he looks confused all the time.
He would have taken a bucket of balls for him.
Oh, yeah, without doubt.
But Jake actually played
well
last year
when he was in, when he was healthy.
He did play well. Now, Dana Brown, I mean, Cam, poor Cam Smith, out of nowhere, Dana Brown, he ain't got no spot. He ain't got no – hey, he's got to be a lot better. Joe Espada was on MLB Network with the gang and was asked about, and if, you know, I mean, Cam Smith was a rookie. His first year with the organization, they came up. He played third base. He went out and played right field for you and did an admirable job. Obviously, it was a little bit too much, but Cam Smith, she showed, you know, I mean, it's his rookie year, for goodness sake, getting going through everything. And Dana's like, well, he ain't got no spot with us. So here's Joe Espada smoothing things out a little bit.
You need to have two things when it comes to young players. For me, is you need to have give them time and you need to be patient. We cannot rush those two things, right? I think if we put Cam in a position for him to succeed and give him time, he has the work ethic. He has the ability to do it. But we need to give this process some time. This is just going to be his sophomore year in the big leagues. And I think his freshman year was a solid season. Is it more in there? Absolutely. But, you know, he barely played minor league baseball. He came into camp. He won a spot. We believe in him. We believe in his ability to be a right fielder for the future. But we just need to allow him to learn the league. He came out, swung the bat really well. And the league, what happens? The league's going to adjust to you. And he just needs to figure out a way to adjust to the league right. And what they're trying to do on the offensive side.
Right.
And he is going.
Yeah. So, listen, Cam Smith showed flashes. Was he, and I think Joe hit the nail on the head. They adjust to you. Now you see if you can adjust to them. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, what is your weakness? They're gonna exploit it. It's still a weakness. You haven't had time to, you know, overcome that. This offseason now, can he hit the slider? Can he hit a curveball? Can he catch up to the thing early on was, could he catch up to a fastball? Because he was hitting everything in the right field. Then he started catching up to some fastballs. I thought it was a big mistake throwing him any off-speed stuff, and he pulled it and he crushed it. But you know what? He's got Cam Smith is going to – I thought Dana Brown was a little harsh with him. Maybe that's just the way that it came out in the media.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to say there's going to be competition.
Yeah.
I don't think he meant it in any kind of way, you know.
Hopefully not. But, you know, hopefully Cam Smith is a guy – that's a young player.
Man, Zach Cole
is coming up.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker taught us. If Kyle Tucker didn't teach you what you needed to know about patience, then I don't know who's going to.
And Bregman, too.
Yeah. Although Bregman got going pretty good. He just started slow, but he had a good first year.
Yeah,
better than Cam's first year. But Cam is super talented. He went straight from college baseball basically into pro baseball. You absolutely should have patience with him. He's big. He can run. He can hit with some pop. Like, yeah, take your time.
Yeah, he's got it all.
We got a break right now because the coach of the number three in the playoffs, fighting Texas Aggies, who, by the way, was asked, hey, coach, or Hunter Yurecek was asked, hey, could that come back to haunt them, the Aggies' first half? He goes, nope, that second half neutralized any concerns about the first half. He just told you straight up, like, nope, that's no longer relevant.
Well, yeah, you won the game. That's all that counts.
Yeah.
Time to talk about the Houston Cougars, 8-2, senior game this Saturday. Get there early. They're going to be honoring their seniors, a senior special, two tickets and a parking pass for just $40. Go to uhcougars.com/senior to get the senior bundle. Or call 713-GO-COUGS. This special let's go. It's still on. Get there. Go and get your uhcougars.com/senior tickets now. They're 8-2, ranked 23rd in the college football playoff rankings. Okay, this Saturday, TDECU Stadium, Cougs take on TCU Senior Day. You got to be out there. Come on, support these guys. They are 8-2. and they are ready for you to give them a little love. This is the final home game of the season, taking on TCU, who got their ass handed to them last week. Hopefully they will again this week. Be on out there. Do not let TCU come out there and dominate that crowd. You got to be there, Cougs fans. Let's go. 8-2, top 25 teams, 713. Go, Cougs. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're waiting on the coach to call in. What a game. What a game it was. Greatest comeback in Texas A&M history. Did not cost them at all. I mean, cost them, really. I got crap on Twitter because I said that was Marcel's Heisman moment. You know, he was a big reason that they were behind because of the interception.
Yeah. Right?
But you got to overcome that stuff. And if you can overcome it, you have the ability to. I don't know. I agree with Booger McFarland. I don't know that anybody in the country, any quarterback in the country, had a better second half, a better half.
No,
than Marcel
Reed. I'm not sure many had a worse first half. So it was a tale of two halves. But it's rare to see it. It's rare to see a guy play to those extremes in the same game. Because if you start cold, you don't get hot like that. Not usually.
No, well, guys have bounced back.
Before. They bounced back, but
Marcel is so much better than his.
That was white hot intensity in the second half. And joining us right now as the head coach of the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies. And coach, I had to ask you this right off the bat. I got it because you deal with this on TV games. It was a horrible first half for you guys. And then you've got to do a halftime interview. You got to talk somebody on the sideline. You got to keep your cool, right? What's that like when you go through a difficult half and you've got to, before you even go into the locker room, you've got to meet with somebody and have them ask questions about why you were so lousy in the first half? That can't be easy for a coach.
No, but if you don't want to deal with it, then don't be lousy in the first half. And so
that's fair.
It's part of the job. And, listen, we own what we do always, and all we can do in those situations is try to figure out ways to fix it, and you'll be able to fix it on Saturday.
Mike Elko joining us, undefeated, ranked third still. I thought, Coach, the first drive of the second half, 4th-and-12, and Marcel comes up with that 16-yard run. I don't know, and there were so many big plays after that, but I don't know that if he doesn't get that you guys win that football game.
Yeah, obviously that was a big one. You know, we knew it was important to come out and get momentum on our side. We really wanted to score on the first drive. We felt like that would really reshape the game, you know, and we were in that situation where you're right around midfield, and with the score being what it was, punting there is not a high-end probability, and so we decided to go for it, and like he's done all year for us, Marcel made a big play.
Oh. I mean, he makes people – the gingerbread man thing, did you know about that gingerbread man thing?
And I've heard
pretty accurate.
Word, yeah. No, yeah. He's an elite athlete. He's an elite athlete. He was last year. He's got, when he pulls the ball down, there's a twitch and a burst that he has that is really rare and really unique in the sport.
Coach, have you ever seen a quarterback have a tale of two halves quite like that? I mean, it's you usually don't bounce back mentally if you have that bad a first half. And I saw the excitement on your face after the game when you kind of dapped up Marcel Reed, the excitement and happiness for the kid, I'm sure, not just for yourself in the program, but for him to bounce back like that. I'm sure you've probably never seen something like that during your time, you know, your years of coaching.
No, you certainly seen kids come back from ups and downs, but you know, we were obviously at one of our lows, and it's a testimony to who that kid is. He's a tremendous competitor. He's got tremendous composure. He's got a ton of belief in himself and the people around him, and there wasn't anybody more vocal and calm in the locker room than Marcel, and nobody more confident in our ability to go out there and flip the script. And when you have that at the quarterback position, you're always going to have a chance. And that's such a big piece of it. That's the part that's so hard for outsiders to evaluate in quarterbacks is how are they made and how are they wired, right? And then you see that all over the place with the winning quarterbacks on successful teams. They've got a little bit of that moxie about them, and ours certainly has it.
We got Coach Elko with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, your defensive ends get so much they get the sacks, and they're making all kinds of plays. I don't know that Torian York gets enough credit. Coach, there was one play where he looked like he was banged up, and I didn't know that he could go on, and he did not come out of that game, and he was not going to be – he was going to make a play right after that, too. Could you talk about Torian York and the season that he's having?
Yeah, no, he's an absolute warrior. He is. He goes sideline to sideline for us. He leads for us. He's the guy that gets everything set and lined up. He's been a 3-year starter. He's a kid that certainly deserves a lot more accolades and praise than he gets. He's a huge piece of the success that we have on defense. And I've told a lot of people this. You know, it's going to be a long time before we have a kid as special as him playing linebacker for the Aggies. And so we need to enjoy him while we have him.
Ashton Bethel-Roman, after the drop, he came up with the huge – you lost – how's Mario doing, by the way?
Mario's great.
He's okay? He's okay?
Yeah.
So you got Ashton Bethel-Roman stepping up the way that he did, Coach, after the drop that he had – I mean, you had guy after guy after guy that made mistakes in the first half. It wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just Marcel. It was a bunch of guys, and they all made plays in the second half.
Yeah, I think that's the character that you want your program to be. You know, we certainly don't want to be the team that when we make a mistake, we fold the tent and we wait till next week. And we spent a lot of time talking about it. We spent a lot of time building it through the offseason, and I just think that showed in the second half. You saw a lot of guys with a tremendous amount of grit and a tremendous amount of resolve to go find a way, and that's what you want. That's what you want in sports.
I want to take it to the offensive line. Your offensive line was named one of the semifinalists for the Joe Moore Award, which is for the top offensive line in college football. And one of the guys who's not an offensive lineman but who has had a major impact, I think, on your team and watching the run blocking and, of course, the toughness, I think, out in space is Nate Berkecher from Nebraska. And Drew Fabianich, who runs the Senior Bowl, told me, Lance, you need to write him up because he's probably going to be here. And I want to give you a chance to talk about what that's meant. He's a portal addition, 4 years at Nebraska, and just kind of added a level of toughness, I think, that has been nice and, you know, had a touchdown, one of the second half touchdowns for you in the second half. Can you talk for a second about Nate?
Yeah, he's extremely competitive. He's extremely consistent. He's very physical, and he's a true tight end. He's a kid who can line up in the inline tight end position and block, and he's a kid who can line up and run routes and catch the ball. He's got a really, really good set of hands, and it's great that he's getting that recognition because I've had a bunch of scouts come through here, and they always ask me, okay, give me one guy off the radar a little bit that we should be looking at, and he's the name that I've been giving him all year because I just think he brings so much value to what we're doing, and he's so competitive, and he's such a do-right kid that he's a kid that any organization would want to add.
It's hard to find tough tight ends anymore, the classic wise, and I'm not saying he's kind of a combo, but he can line up in line. There's just, I don't know, there's something, there's a level of toughness and a level of confidence in him when you watch the way he moves around the field. And it kind of stands out to me. You know, not everyone has that in college. There's a lot of finesse tight ends out there nowadays. He doesn't fit that mold. He's more old school.
Yeah, no, he's a gritty player. And I think he embraces the parts of football that are winning, right? Winning football is about being physical. It's about establishing a line of scrimmage. It's about lowering your shoulder and getting extra yards, right? Those are all the things about football that are winning, not whether or not you can line up at X in a 7-on-7 and go up and catch a football, right? And so I just think that's the difference. He's a winning football player.
All right. So, Coach, we had the college football playoffs and you know, that's in your future, it looks like, but there's a lot of football to play. How do you handle a Tuesday night right now when you've got college football playoffs? Is this something you're paying attention to at all? I know the answer is probably no, but, you know, you're playing to win a championship ultimately, and so this is one of the stages.
Yeah, no, again, I've said this before. I just, we're fortunate we're in a system now where it's going to get decided on the field. And so obviously, you know, you're aware of what's out there. You're aware of where you are. But you know at the end of the day, the whole goal is to get in. And I think we're one win away from guaranteeing ourselves a spot at 11 wins in the playoffs. And that's our focus right now, is to go out Saturday and make sure we secure that spot. And I think that's all you need to do. You need to get in. And once you get in, then you got to put yourself in position to go on the field and win it. And that's what we're focused on.
You got Saturday against Samford, and then, of course, the week after is going to be Texas. We won't have you next week. You don't want to look ahead. You do have a Friday game. It's one less day of preparation. How does that change for you when you have a game on a Friday?
Yeah, obviously it alters the preparation, and did some time in the off season on what this needed to look like, and so we kind of set the schedule a long time ago. But it'll be different. It'll be rushed, and put a lot of stress on the coaches to make sure that we get done what we got to get done to give ourselves the best chance. But listen, it's part of football. You know, you play different schedules, you play different weeks, and obviously it'll be a huge showcase to be the primetime game Friday night. So.
Mike Galco with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I lost internet, so I don't know if Lance asked you this, but Coach, is the university okay with you breaking chairs and stuff, furniture in the locker room?
Well, yeah, it's become kind of a post game tradition, the chair slam, and I've never really been part of it, but the guys wanted me to do it Saturday, and so you know, when you guys give that to you and they give you that kind of effort, you're kind of at their mercy post game, and so they wanted it, so they got it.
It's probably better than body surfing, Coach, if we're being honest.
Well, yeah, I'm not really a body surfing type of guy.
But you can afford it now too. Pay for that chair.
Yeah, congratulations on that, Coach.
Congratulations, Coach. That's great stuff that you're going to be with the Aggies. With this uncertainty in college football, with all the coaches, Coach, it's great to know that you're going to be there.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a tremendous honor for me and my family. We're blessed to be the head football coach at Texas A&M. We absolutely love this university, love this football program, and love College Station. And so the fact that the university stepped up and made a commitment to this program and what we're building here gives us a lot of stability to go continue to elevate this thing to where we want it to go.
I'm curious just for a second, because I've never really heard you talk about this, so I don't know if you have thoughts on this. Historically, there's been a lot of SEC coaches kind of defend the conference, how tough it is. We know the schedules are tough. Just look at the South Carolina game for you this last week. Do you have thoughts on the SEC, the amount of teams getting in the playoffs or anything like that in terms of the worthiness of the SEC putting as many teams in the playoffs as possible? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the best conference in the country. It's not even close. I think when you look at the amount of NFL players in this league, the amount of NFL draft picks in this league, and then what the atmospheres are like when you have to go on the road in this league, there's no comparison. And I think if you look at, you know, our record across conferences, you know, we're 10-4 and out of conference play this year against a group of four teams. There needs to be a little bit more of that when you start looking at comparing school to school, conference to conference. And so the committee's got a tough job, but I certainly would advocate that the schools in this league are going through a much more difficult schedule. And I think all of the metrics play out that way.
Mike Galco. Okay, Coach, we'll let you get on to Stanford and get ready for that. We appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We really, really appreciate it. Congratulations on the success, and keep it going.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, there's Mike Galco every couple of weeks here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff.
So
good
he
stuff,
runs buddy. Everything with that A&M program, right? He's the leader, the commandant, the king. Do you think he had words with that trooper about his performance? Hey, come on. We got a great comeback.
Yeah, I think he
said
people
are
nice
focused
job.
On what you did.
Good job. Keep those
good
people
job.
Out of our tunnel.
Good job.
Those people?
Ooh, yeah. I don't think he said those people.
Yeah.
I will say that trooper had better coverage in the first half than anyone else on A&M's.
He stayed
team.
Tighter to. He stayed tighter to.
Tighter to Harbor.
At least he got.
Back.
At least
you've been
he got
holding that one back. Have you?
At least
no,
he made contact with Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, because no one touched him on that touchdown. No. The only person on A&M's
get back
side,
on the field.
The only, pers- person on A&M side who touched him on that long touchdown was the trooper.
Keep South Carolina people from trespassing. That's what
it's
I
not
say.
Trespassing.
Yeah, trespassing.
He was on his sideline too.
You don't need to be up our tunnel. Okay?
Well, they were putting it up
our tunnel.
Well, they were kind of putting it up the tunnel for the first half.
Wow.
The entire first half.
Wow. I knew you'd come with something like up the tunnel.
I mean, that's usually Lance's domain. But.
Yeah, I know, right. It was with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
That's Mike Elko. We appreciate him for joining us here. Time to talk about Billy Brown. We really appreciate him. And if you repipe, because I don't know how old your house is. Was it Lance? Your house is a little older.
So yeah, it was built in the early 60s. Right? Yep, had to do all. They were out, actually, they were out of my house yesterday. I'm having them check.
What?
Yeah,
poor
having
Billy.
Him.
Poor Billy with us.
Well, it was just he's just cleaning tankless water heater. I have my tankless water heater service do that once a year, so I had him come out and do that. And then I know my water quality is piss poor at the house from the city of Houston, so he actually took a sample of water, and they're going to run tests on it and find out. And I think I'm going to get a whole home filtration. Well, as well, to clean that up and all the sediment, yeah, for the family. So
yeah, you know what? Water heater, speaking of, if you do an entire repot, Billy is going to give you a water heater. How about that? Just give away a water heater if you do an entire repot, because the winter is here, and if it gets really cold, your pipes are going to freeze, and then you're going to have real problems. Why don't you attack this now and take care of it? Or at least let Billy's guys come and inspect them. Let them come and inspect them and find out whether or not your pipes can handle another winter freeze, because it's coming. It always does. So you're looking for the best way to attack and be ready this winter. That's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, 281-488-6238, or AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. D is been holding. Let's get him in here to find out what D. Sorry about the wait. We had Mike Elko. We apologize. But thanks for joining the show. What's up?
Lance, I have a quick question for you. Have you had a chance to look at any prospects for college football coming up?
Yeah, 40. I've written up like 45 players, but that's out of about 500. So when I watch games, I don't really watch them like I do for the draft. But is there somebody in particular you're wondering about?
Have you ever heard of Chandler Rivers from Duke?
Chandler Rivers from Duke. No.
We had a family member call up about him before the year began.
Well, I think you're probably having one right now call up.
I don't know. Corner.
I think I've had somebody send something in about him as well. 5'10", 185, two interceptions. I'm looking at him right now, trying to figure out if he'll hit the radar. Seven career interceptions. That's enough interception production to probably warrant, 28 passes defense. Yeah, I'll probably look at him along the way. I haven't seen him yet, but unless he's going to the Senior Bowl or Shrine Game, I probably won't look at him until later, or if he's invited to the Combine. It goes Senior Bowl, Combine. I've got to write all those guys up. And if he doesn't get invited to either of those, I might if he was at the Shrine Game. And if he's not there either, then probably needs to have a pretty good workout. Probably needs to work out pretty good for me to write him up. So, no, I haven't seen him yet. That is a pretty good football team, though. And I may just watching a Duke game, I'm sure he'll pop up just watching.
Yeah, he was first team All ACC last year, second team All American.
I mean,
that
dude makes a lot of tackles for being a cornerback. Holy crap. 52, 58, 54, 41. I got to go look at him. Must be a slot. Must play right there in the slot, I'm assuming, at 5'10, 185.
Yeah, Duke is out of it now. That would have created a lot of chaos if Duke wins the championship and they're not ranked, but that's not going to happen now. So.
Two interception returns for touchdowns, too.
Yeah, they got smoked by Virginia. Yeah. Chandler Morris was back 1 week after a concussion. Different different way they handle it in college football. So he was back and he played, and they smacked around Duke. So it's Virginia and Georgia Tech with. They control their own destiny.
There's a lot of talk about Virginia being kind of a fraud, and they've held up.
Well, if you just
for the most part,
they've had, of course, the big one that put them on the radar was the game against Florida State. Turns out Florida State's terrible, or at least average
field rushing
average. But since that point, they've been in games where you know they lose to Wake Forest at home. That's a bad loss for them, and then some other games. You know they're puddling around, finding ways to win. And then they got back to it against
that was a good
Duke.
Win.
But you just look at them game to game, you're like, okay. They're winning games. Credit to them because they haven't done a lot of that recently. But, of course, we always put it in the perspective of can they be a title contender? And clearly not. But for Virginia, you get to the ACC title game, that's good. That's a good season for them.
If we did playoffs in the NFL like they do in college where the Texans get in, where they make – where somebody starts stumping for an elite defense and – we just try to look over. Oh, by the way, speaking of offense, just for a second, I know Nick Caserio, your fearless general manager, was on 610, and they asked him about Joe Mixon, and yeah, it's done. I mean, if you just there's a lot of gray area there. You know, we can't bring him back until he's off the protocol, not protocol, but whatever they say, until he's off this list. And so, you know, there's some good things will happen. And then, you know, and then there's, I don't think he said regression, but if you listen to him, it seemed quite obvious that Joe Mixon's not going to play this year.
He's not playing.
And he said, it's getting a little late in the game now. So not only is he not going to play now, but you have to wonder how much more football is Joe Mixon going to play? What is his injury that it has cost him an entire year? What is that injury, and why can he not come back from it? Because he's not making – apparently he's just not making a whole lot of progress at all. Is this one of the – is it a season-ending foot injury, something that – was it a severe Lisfranc? I don't know. You know, they won't tell you anything. So why there was such a fuss made about
– Watch Ian, it.
Ian Rappaport.
Watch it.
Crazy to
you
me.
Are leaning into an area where
I know, but they
clear you don't care
you don't
about
care.
The
I know, but they
the
just really should have. I mean, this is football. We want to know who's playing. This is part of the multi-billion. By the way, the NFL loves fantasy football. It's one of the reasons they make billions upon billions of dollars as fantasy football. It really is. And that's a big part of it is fantasy football fans, whether you think they're annoying or not. And Joe Mixon, everyone wanted to know about Joe Mixon. You have to be okay with talking about your, I don't know, starting running back who may be out for the year. I get not saying he's out for the year, but when somebody talks about him not being ready for the start of the season, that shouldn't have been a big deal. It really shouldn't. D'Amico's gotten a little.
You don't care about him. You just care about your fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. And
I hear a lot of
and
money
what,
being
and
discussed
what?
And not about
and
the
what?
Well-being of a player who gave you much joy last year.
Yeah.
Or
that's why I want him back
for
this year.
Clicks.
Yep.
That's all you're looking for.
That's right. Click away. He's 29 years old going on 40.
Wow.
Wow.
Why? Now you're burying Joe Mixon's career.
Because
I think
injured?
Joe Mixon may have. I don't. How
now
severe
we're
is
calling
it?
Him an old man?
Well,
by
running
him.
Back standards, he's about to turn 30. 30 is old man territory.
Whew. I mean, this had an ugly turn.
He's averaged 292, 210, 257, 245. Like, this guy's a workhorse. By NFL standards, I mean, that's a lot of carries. That's a lot of carries, and he'll miss the entire year this year.
He'll be fresh next year, then.
And but contractually, do the Texans even, is
Didn't
he have anything left?
Did they give him a contract extension? Didn't they give him an extension?
Yeah, they did.
He did. Yeah, he's got an extension. So he is going to play next year. He has contract for next year. I mean, they could get out of it, but why would you? You could actually get out of it and have no, let's see, your cap hit would be $10 million, your contract would be $8 million. It still cost you $2 million. There's no reason.
Dead cap
to.
Too, yeah.
Now, if Joe Mixon is not, if you think there's a career health issue, you cut him. And you eat $2 million, and you don't eat $10 million. That's an easy one. If the Texans cut him, that means they think that his career is basically done. So we'll see next year. Here's his cap hit next year is going to be $10.5 million. This year it's $9.4 million, and you didn't get a single carry from him. So next year it's $10.5 million. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Joe next year. I think it's a big. I mean, it's been a big loss. Joe Mixon around the goal line is money. Joe Mixon can create with power. around the goal line, and you
Joe Mixon short yardage anywhere on the field.
Yeah,
I mean, Joe Mixon was a huge part last year. Losing Joe Mixon for this offense was, listen, the offense has struggled. They would be much better with Joe Mixon. That dude brings not only does he, you know, the ability to run the football, but he brings an energy that they don't have. Joe Mixon was the catalyst last year for that offense. He plays hard. So losing that's a huge loss that I don't think, you know, I mean, we talk about the line and CJ's program, all this stuff. Joe Mixon was a big loss. Really big loss.
Yeah, huge, because it takes away some of your toughness on the ground, and that allows for, I mean, that really takes a lot of pressure off CJ. If you got somebody, I mean, Joe Mixon had some phenomenal games, and that was not a big-time offensive line by any stretch of the imagination. And he had some huge games last year. He was, you could argue, it's one of his best seasons of his career last year. And it's a massive loss, because you don't have anybody to go get 1 and 2 yards when you need 1 and 2 yards. And that's what's the number one problem the Texans have had. It's been converting in short yardage, and they don't have an answer. They just don't. For as good as Woody has been, they just don't have an answer. And it's been a huge loss. I think it takes away. And D'Amico Ryans was asked about how important a running game is. And he just thinks it's the most important thing. Like, it's identity. You have to be able to run the ball. It's for D'Amico, and this is pretty classic for all defensive head coaches, they want to run the ball because they understand on the other side of the ball, it's demoralizing. It keeps defenses on the field. And the Texans, you know, the Texans can't really rely on theirs. But they could last year. So, and here's a great example, the Buffalo Bills. If there was ever a time you needed a running game to really, you know, take it to them, you want to keep the offense off the field, keep their defense on the field, running game would be great for that. We'll see if Woody's got it in him. I mean, he's talented. He's talented. Let's just see how they drop the plays. Let's see how Buffalo decides to, you know, is Buffalo going to be afraid of Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, and Higgins has been coming on a little bit lately. Are they going to maybe, my guess is they just play it straight. I don't think they do anything tricky at all. I think they just say, let's see if Houston can run. And so we'll see if they can. And they're going to try. I guarantee you Houston's going to try to run. It'd be stupid not to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they got to. They got to run the football. It's not going to. You know what? This Bills defense is not good. They got to take advantage of it. I mean, I know it's Davis Mills, and I know no Joe Mixon, and blah, 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 blah. They're going to take
advantage. What does take advantage of it mean for this Texans offense?
This Texans offense, it means scoring 18 to 19 points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure what the standard is for this team taking advantage of the Bills' deficiencies.
That'll be enough.
About 19 points?
19 to 11 is the final.
Ooh, wow.
Man. Yeah. Missed two-point conversion, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, how do they get to 11?
Seven.
How do we get to 19?
That's a scorigami. 8-3.
So the Bills.
The Bills will get 3 field goals and a safety.
The Texans need to get to 19. The Texans need to have a two-point conversion, a safety, and 3.
No.
Oh, you're just going the easy way. A touchdown, an extra point, and 4 tied and 4. And 4.
They're
going to
have
goals.
4 field goals, a touchdown, and a missed extra point.
Kaimi's supposed to be back, so you have your starting kicker back to kick you your Kaimi's 4
back.
Field goals.
Yeah. Kaimi's well, back. You got to have Kaimi back
I
to kick 4
up
field
this
goals.
Week. Yeah. I picked him up this week. Hmm. He's going to have a huge game.
19-11.
19-11.
Wow. Bills go for, let's see, the Bills get.
Well, if the Dolphins defense can hold them to 13, the Texans can certainly hold
them
to
11. You would. If it was 19-3, for example, you need to have 16, so you got a touchdown to 2.
Yeah, the Bills try to make a comeback, and they get a 2-point conversion.
19-11's on the board, kids.
Yeah,
it's a possibility.
On the board, book it. The last time the Bills went on the road, they only scored 13 against a much worse defense. 11 points for the Bills.
11. It's going to be dominated by Texans, loud Texans fans.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday night, they're going to be wearing their red uniforms.
Is this a neutral site game?
I don't
know. It's not a neutral site, Texas. Stop acting like we're the Rams and the Chargers.
We are.
No.
Oh, really?
When the Broncos
when the Broncos come to town?
Are you ready to rock and a green and a pound?
When the 49ers came to town?
No.
Yes.
No, guys. The red was battle red.
And And then when the Jags came to town, there's a lot of red, but those were the seats.
Not battle blue. They didn't have battle teal. There was no Jacksonville fans.
There was a lot of red, but the seats were the red, not the people in the seats.
This will be packed with Texans fans.
Packed with Texans.
Oh, really? Bills fans won't show up?
No, not as much.
7:15 start winter in Buffalo. Thursday night.
Not as much.
They get out of there for any reason whatsoever. They like get out of there.
It'd be sad if there's more than 10%.
You're gonna have more.
No, I know there's going. There's definitely 10%. No. There's definitely gonna be one out of you know what is strange though? If you go to one of those games and you walk to the concourse, you don't. It doesn't feel like one out of every 10. Now, when you just are in the stands looking at it, but when you walk, you don't think well. This feels like one out of every 10.
You're on the Texan side. On the other side, it's one out of every 10 is a Texan fan.
What do you mean on the other side? They buy off the secondary market.
They just buy out behind the home team's bench. Yes.
Well, they buy from all over the place, though.
Well, they buy it from those season ticket holders that sell all their tickets.
5% at best. Texans fans are going to show up and show out.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Bullpen, bullpen, bullpen.
Stop it.
Bull.
That place will be loud when Josh Allen makes plays.
Bullship is what it is.
Oh, goodness. That scared me. Oh, goodness.
That's the bullship that's coming in.
There's a real chance. There's a real chance if it goes Buffalo's way, you're going to hear Buffalo, because it's a prime game, so those guys will be at the end of the game. They'll sit down with the panel. And someone on Buffalo will say, man, this feels like Buffalo South in here.
Okay,
If it goes the Bills' way, so the Bills fans will hang around and be very loud.
If I said 25% Buffalo fans, we wouldn't blink an eye.
No.
And yet that's one out of every four fans is Buffalo. It does not feel like that when you walk around outside the stadium and inside the stadium. Doesn't even feel close to that.
But what does it sound like?
It sounds like a home.
I think it's really more like 15. I think it's really more like 15%, which is still a really high.
People who went to those Broncos game.
Broncos and 49ers?
Like in college, you'll get 6,000 to 8,000 fans.
You get a
typically.
Pizza slice is all you get at the stadiums. College fans don't do that. Pro fans sell their
tickets.
Well,
they do some. I got a friend selling his Texas and Texas A&M tickets.
Oh, well,
because he's looking
different.
For 1,200 apiece.
That's
but
different.
Yeah. So there's some. But, yeah, I mean, typically an away fan base gets, 5,000 tickets, I think. There's a 100,000-seat SEC stadium.
Yeah.
5,000 tickets. Let's say they go to 10,000. That would still be 10%.
I will say this. I never saw LSU fans sell their tickets to A&M fans like I saw this year.
Oh, my God.
They dominated. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, any questions, you're more than welcome. Any relative to plays for a college team that you want to talk about? Right now, though, we want to talk about Craig DeCerf.
I want to talk about getting your hands on a Buick Enclave or a Buick Envision. Very specifically, there's Buick Encore as well. The Encore is a smaller. The Envision is going to be the smaller 5-seat SUV. The Encore is, I think it's a little... I'm not sure if that one's a little bit bigger or just a different design and the same size. It's a 5-seater as well. I drive the Buick Enclave. So, you know, I've got 3 kids still at home. So we still, and one of them 6'3". And so we still need more space. We still need more space. So that 7-seater is very, very important. I love the way that it handles. It looks great on the exterior. The interior is awesome. Awesome design. It handles really, really well. And it has a sound system that is phenomenal. And I really want to have I need to have a good sound system. I need to have a car that handles well. And then, you know, my son, what he wanted was a vehicle that had better gas mileage and that was going to have safety features. I wanted him to have that for his first car, so have a very safe vehicle. He's got the Buick Envision. We both did leases, but they've got purchase options right now with dealer cash back and low finance rates to really hook you up, and that's for the month of November. So I can't speak for December. I can tell you that right now, the Buick is an excellent vehicle, highly, highly recommended, and they've got great offers right now at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC right there in Angleton. It's a few extra miles, the drive is, but it's a few extra thousand in your pocket when you purchase from them. Great trade-in values, and they will make sure they get the interior and exteriors you are looking for with selection, even if they have to trade cars with another dealership. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tomorrow, I want to remind you, we're going to be at East River 9. We got the Texans game. It's a great place to go watch the Texans game. So if you are somebody that, you know, oh, how about that? Play a little golf. Takes about an hour and a half. Come in, watch Texans game. You got beer, all full bar. You got food. Great place to get your game on. And also, on Friday, Taqueria Rondas. Which one are we going to be at, Lance?
The one in Cypress.
Cypress.
It's just right around the corner from Dell's.
Dell's got a little. You could probably walk there, though. So we're going to do that on Friday. And also a reminder, anytime you want to watch your games, Damaris Barbecue on 18th Street right off the West Loop. Just a great place to get your game on. Get your wings and your Greek fries on.
Are we still promoting Thanksgiving turkeys? Or are they done?
No.
Are they still giving those out? Or, I mean, not giving them out, but they're still selling them?
They don't give them out.
Yeah, they're still selling them?
They're still selling them.
All right.
He's already had more than ever because of me and this commercial that I do for him.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I know do they say, John sent me?
Yeah, everybody says John sent me.
You know, you two keep alluding to the misery that you think I'm going to have having to drive to Cypress. Look, it'll be early. I'll have to get up earlier. There won't be as much traffic. I'll be fine. The problem is, once I get to my destination, you two will be sitting there.
Like, that's your problem.
Yeah, if I got there and you two weren't there and I just got to spend time at a Taqueria Sorandas, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
Like, last time I went, it was Jeremy and Chelsea. They were there because for the Jeremy Pena event. More than happy to be there. This time it's you two. And that's the problem.
That couldn't make you sadder.
That 3+ hours is going to be the worst part of my day. Not the drive there, not the drive back. You two. Yeah. You in person. Because I don't have to deal with you in person anymore. Now I got to deal with you in person.
No,
that's person. 2 days in a row.
That's 2 weeks. You got me.
Not 2 weeks. Only.
Oh, yeah, you're taking off.
I'm taking off. Good timing by me.
Yeah.
John's in town. I'm out.
Beat it. Beat it. Well, actually, the following week, I'm going to be doing Live from New York. Live from New York is Saturday night.
Live from New York is John Granato.
Yeah. I'm going to visit Frankie. We're going to go to a couple Devils games. It'll be fun.
Devils!
Yep. She loves the New Jersey Devils.
She still do they still do that NutriZone trap thing, or have they changed from 30 years ago?
No, I think they've changed.
Is Brodeur still
changed head coaches?
Is Brodeur and Scott Stevens still playing?
Yeah, I think they've changed. Head coaches.
I was just wondering.
Philosophies.
I was just wondering. I thought it was like Katie. Like Katie, from the time you're like 8, you're running the same offense.
Well, that is true. I don't know that that's changed.
Did that in New Jersey.
All right. Who's up, though? Chip. What's going on, Chip?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I was going to keep this short. We were talking about the attendance earlier, and you were saying that it was maybe like 25% row visitors, or 15%, or even as much as 30%. But all I'm going to say to Texas fans, I bartend at the game, so we end up staying until the very first play of the fourth quarter, and then we got to get out of there. I left the Jaguar game at the very beginning of the fourth quarter, and I can tell you at least 25% of that stadium was walking out with me. And they missed the entire comeback for the Texans game. So I will say tomorrow, no matter how many fans come, whether it's 50%, 60%, 80%, whatever, please stay until the end of the game. You never know. This team is a heart attack walking, and they do fight. They do fight for D'Amico, and they will do their best to stay in the game and win. But you guys, you got to stay and cheer them on.
So, I've got so
much I want to say on the radio.
Yeah. No, I got so much respect for what Chip just said. About fans staying and being real fans. Here's the thing. I just got too much dad energy, and I'm trying to beat the traffic.
You're a terrible
fan. So I left early a Super Bowl with the greatest comeback ever in a Super Bowl. You think I'm not leaving in the fourth quarter of a Jacksonville Jaguars ass-kicking that somehow turns into a miracle
you
win?
You left the 27-3 game, 28-3 game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think I'm leaving a 30-3 game at A&M? I would have been out the door at A&M, too. Like, I ain't getting stuck in this College Station traffic.
And you know what? After that game, everybody was still there. You would have been the only person.
I'm not an Aggie. I'm not a good Ag.
Yeah, never have been, never will be.
You're a two percenter.
But what Chip says is 100% right. I wish I was that way. I have been that way when my wife said, we're staying too. You're going to do an Eyes of Texas at the end. Like, you're winning 47-10 against New Mexico State. Let's go.
She's Sam Ellinger. She stays and sings the song.
And then what happened? We got stuck in a parking garage and we couldn't get out for 48 minutes.
All those memories last forever.
And you know what? You spent time with the family. You talked to the kids.
It's not the family. We're just there. Just like
singing the song is the memory.
Can't get out. Can't get out of this parking garage.
But you got 48 minutes with your family. That's great.
Well, family's not going to well, they might have gone to that game. No, they've only gone to some of those games. So that was not the game that they went to, I remember. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a game also where I had to give double rods to say where double rods was born, the phrase, because I had to give double rods to somebody because they were yelling
talking
at me,
to your wife?
Oh, nice job. I had a poncho on because it started raining, and she didn't want to wear hers because it was making her sweaty, she said.
Oh.
And so I've got one on, and then she's not wearing it. Some guy, you know, at the little – and it was a rain. It was kind of a misty rain. Like, it wasn't a hard rain, but it was raining. And he's like, oh, real cool, buddy. Nice a-hole move with your girl or something like that. And so I just went, mm-hmm. That's what you get right here, sir. Eyes of Tech stand till the end. For what? For who?
Just sing this song.
No, not if you're getting blown out or you're blowing somebody out. You get out and you beat the traffic. That's what you're supposed to do. Beat the traffic.
Not if you're a real horn, you don't.
I'm a
Texas fight. Isn't that what they say?
I've been a mercenary my whole life. Unless my dad coached a college team, whoever's got the best number on a Saturday is my team. That's how it works.
Does anyone outside of Texas know any of the words for this song? Outside of the Eyes of Texas or anything?
Yeah, because you grew
I've
up.
I've been working on the railroad.
That's a different song that caused some issues.
I don't know why, but you just.
Until Gabriel blows his horn.
You just do. I don't know why you know it. You just do. If you grew up in Texas.
Texas fight. Yeah. And it's goodbye to A&M.
It is a good song.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a good college song. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, the Aggie song, the beginning of the Aggie song has a little juice. Dun, 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 dun. It's got a nice little build up.
I love Hail to the Victors. I ain't going to lie. I love the Michigan fight song. Yeah. I love Hail to the Victors.
Ba, 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 ba. Is that one?
Yes.
Ba, 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 ba. What does Notre Dame do?
It's do garbage no matter what they do.
Yeah.
They've got Notre a famous. Dame. Yeah, I do hate Notre Dame. And if Miami does improbable and doesn't poop on themselves down the stretch, if Notre Dame makes the playoff, I'm calm now.
What is it USC does that I don't like? After first downs, they play the same stuff all the time. Is that what it is?
Never sit behind the Oklahoma band for a game. Boomer Sooner. Oh, my God.
I know, they fire it off.
100 times they play it. We sat behind them for the national championship when LSU beat them. And it was awful.
Yeah, I remember Jamie, rest his soul, Jamie Roots just wanted to bring a college atmosphere to the Houston Texans in 2002 when they first came in. You know, fight song and all that stuff. He thought he went to Clemson. I think he played soccer at Clemson. And he wanted to bring that, you know, and it just doesn't work in the NFL. You know, he had a fight song that immediately John clowned it and embarrassed him and embarrassed the entire he decided, I'm going to make the Houston Texans rue the day they ever had this stupid song. And he pummeled the Houston Texans every day on the radio.
And now look what
listen
we got.
To this song. And it was so
was
bad.
The best fight song
it was
ever.
So corny.
And because of John, it's been pulled completely off the internet.
It was so corny. Oh, yeah, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't. You can't find it.
You have to. Now, you can Google, and there's an archive article on ESPN that local radio station made fun or something like that. No, it didn't say we did. That the local media and fan base made such fun of it that they, you know, immediately decided to pull it. But didn't you get in trouble with would somebody have some words for you for doing
Jamie
that?
Jamie Roots called me and said, you're making fun of Bob McNair. And I was like, I'm not making fun. I'm playing it, Jamie. You want us to play it? We're playing it over and over.
Well, now, okay, John, if that's how you feel, I've got something for you that's going to last two decades. We'll see how you like this.
Look at you.
I love this song.
So in a way, John is responsible for Clay Walker's long, long runway of football.
You don't like this, blame John. They had other alternatives, and John pooped on them immediately. And now look what we got.
I love it.
Drive me smooth over here.
To be fair, this is the same energy that they have for Sunday Night Football on NBC. Like, Dave, or was it Monday Night Football?
It's Sunday Night.
Yeah, Sunday Night.
They have Carrie Underwood.
It's a little it hits different when it's Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, and then, you know, she's in the dress and all the stuff. Yeah, it's different.
Remember when Hank Williams Jr. was there for a while and he say something really racist? And they're like, yeah, we can't do this anymore.
They got him out of the
place. We got to get him up out of here. Hank Williams Jr. was on there for like a couple years and then he said something. And they're like,
stop talking over this. It's like the national anthem.
I'm not going to let you hear this clean. You know, Dell didn't play like one time. Didn't like maybe twice we got to hear All Systems Go, but we'll play this.
The Astros didn't deserve it. This season didn't deserve All Systems Go.
They did deserve. What they were doing was a miracle.
And I didn't want to screw it up by playing the song when I hadn't played it.
I mean, how could you not love this song?
There are ways. I found ways not to love it. Oh, I've heard it
often.
I've heard it half of my life now. Think about this. This song has been in my life half of my life.
Oh, my God.
How awesome.
No, it's not awesome.
How awesome is that?
Over half of my life.
More than half of your life.
Yeah, listen to Clay Walker and this song. And it's been associated with, well, it's a mid-song and a mid-football team for my life, too. I got here in 2002.
Oh, my God.
We moved to Texas.
You moved here just in time.
Just in time, right?
Just in time.
Your life would not be fulfilled.
I remember watching the Texans' first game from a hotel room because we didn't have my dad just moved here. We didn't have a place yet, and the company put him up there. We watched them against the Cowboys, and like, wow, this is some buzz here. And nothing really has matched that moment since, as far as energy.
Nope. Billy Miller going in the end zone. Yeah. That Gary Walker safety. What?
I was like, wow, look at this. The Texans. This is exciting. Nah.
That was a great night. That was a great night. One of the great nights in Houston sports history. Yep. All right, we got a break. 19-12. We got a break. I got to talk about my peeps. I mean, that's my guy over here at Blue Bonnet Glass. And I'm going to tell you this. Blue Bonnet Glass has been around for 75 years. You don't stay in business for 75 years unless you do it right. Blue Bonnet Glass was in Brenham and the Sealy area, all over there. Now they're in the Houston area. And watch out other glass companies. Because here's the deal. It's not only, listen, you need a new window? Okay, call them. You want a glass door? Well, you want it? You glass on your, whatever. You don't want that? They'll come over. They'll do shower. You got railings that you need glass. You need etched glass. Whatever kind of glass it is that you need, okay? They've got the selection that you need, and they got the professionalism for 75 years, okay? 75 years they've been doing this. But also want to reach out to you guys, you builders, you contractors. You're making apartment buildings or you're just building a home. You're building homes. You're having a hard time getting your glass on time at your jobs. Well, no more, because Blue Bonnet, that's what they pride themselves in at Blue Bonnet Glass, that they're going to be on time, that the service is going to be impeccable, that the product is going to be perfect, everything. And listen, you're a first responder, a veteran, tell them that you want your 10% off on whatever it is that they do. Your home or your work or you want to put in glass at your business, whatever it is, storefronts, everything, any kind of glass that you need, Blue Bonnet Glass. They are, I'm telling you, you don't stay in business all this time. And now they're moving to the greater Houston area, 832-508-0911, 832-508-0911, or bluebonnetglass.com.